love it. That's right. We are back. That's right. You thought you had enough of us at the Hoosier Sound yesterday? No, it just so happens that bright and early Tuesday morning, the Indiana Hoosiers added another player to their roster, filling out all their available scholarship openings, this time after Tamar Bates and after Xavier Johnson and after Parker Stewart and after all the previous Indiana Hoosiers returning to IU. It's Miller Kopp, the Northwestern transfer. He's listed as a guard, as a forward, depending on where you look at, but he's kind of a wing. He can play multiple positions, a 6'7", 215-pound forward out of Houston, Texas. He played at Northwestern, averaged 9.6 points per game in his career, but over the last couple seasons under Chris Collins, he averaged double figures. Great shooter. He's in the mid to high 30s from three-point percentage, very high free throw percentage as well. And here on a bonus surprise emergency episode 194 of the Hoosier Sound, we're going to dive into the Kopp commitment, talk about what it means to the program, see what other kind of consequences they are. And it's going to be rapid fire here, talking 15 to 20 minutes about Miller Kopp as a Hoosier. So, Noah, let's dive right in. I mean, just yesterday, Matt Jevin and I were talking about what Indiana and Mike Woodson should be doing with this final scholarship spot. Well, that question was answered today.
Yeah, it was funny. I'd made sure, especially I had started listening to the podcast that from yesterday, like this morning on my way to work. And I was about part of the way through by the time I got there. And during work, obviously, the news came that there was another commitment, basically. And then I'm like, all right, I got to make sure I finish to make sure I can see what you guys said or didn't say on the podcast. I mean, as you can tell, if you're going to end up watching the live stream, I am just got back from work at a break that I could come do the podcast with you. As you can even see in the background, it's super duper, super messy. We just had the Hoosier Sound, the messy backgrounds because we moved last weekend and we were actually in Florida over this past weekend. So super busy, but able to hop on here and talk about the 13th scholarship spot as of Tuesday, April 20th, because who knows, like you said, there could be three or four more announcements of something before the next podcast. But hey, if nothing changes, there's 13 scholarships and all coaching positions are officially set and done. But of course, that doesn't mean that something might not change here in the future.
Absolutely. But I mean, if nothing else, unless there are any other changes, Indiana seems to be in a spot where they can proceed now with off-season workouts, maybe think about some non-conference scheduling now. They could sort of move on to the next step of the off-season program. There were two real main articles Miller Kopp sort of gave his comments on. There's one on ESPN, one on Inside the Hall. I do want to hat tip Jeff Rabjohns for, I believe, breaking the story yesterday that Kopp had come down to three finalists. It was Indiana, Oregon State, and Utah. And my immediate reaction to that last night was, hey, if I'm Kopp, I'm not really sure what I would do. I mean, Oregon State's a team that came off of an Elite Eight appearance this past March Madness. Utah's a team that has usually had a pretty competitive program in the Pac-12. And at both of those schools, Kopp probably would have had more influence. He probably would have had a bigger role than what it will be here at Indiana. But then again, Mike Woodson just seems to be a guy who basically will say, outside of Trace Jackson Davis, if you're having a good game, if you're playing well, if you're buying into the program, I'm going to give you playing time. So Kopp basically came down. He told ESPN, Coach Woodson sees my potential as a versatile player and has a plan for my development with the NBA experience and the respect he has around the game. I was curious to at least hear him out. Obviously, Indiana has such an amazing history and basketball culture, which was appealing to me because I played against them for 3 years. And we did a little bit of digging earlier today over on Indiana HQ and found out that in his career at Assembly Hall, Kopp has shot 6 of 9, 67% from three-pointer right down the street here at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. So he seems to be someone comfortable in these surroundings. Noah, as you take a step back, how do you see Kopp fit in this roster, in this system, in this rotation? What do you think he's going to see as far as minutes concerned? Do you think he's going to start or come off the bench? How do you envision Kopp's role here?
I mean, that's a loaded question, isn't it? I think we kind of have to dive down a rabbit hole. I guess there's two questions there. First, kind of what his role might be, and then where his minutes are. I think those are two separate questions. And then more of the second question, you kind of have to talk about a lot in terms of where the minutes are could go, because that could be a whole hour episode in itself, and you might not get anywhere just with a brand new coach and a brand new system with a bunch of new people. But I think from what you've seen a lot of, and this is a guy that you're familiar with in terms of, like, you as a Hoosier fan have seen him play as much as this year, if not the past 2 and 3 years, where he's actually been in Big Ten basketball play. So you've seen what he's been able to do. And you think of just where Northwestern has been the past few years. Obviously, they have not been at the top of the Big Ten, to put it lightly, if you will. So he's kind of had to take a role. He's been one of their best recruits that was coming in for the first time in at least a while, and he's kind of had to play a bigger role than what he might be more comfortable with, or what he might have to do. And coming into an extremely loaded Indiana roster, he's probably not going to have to do, it's probably like a 99.999% chance that he won't have to do what he did at Northwestern. So it'll probably be more of what you saw with that. You talked a lot about yesterday, like with who that role could get filled with, whether it's a wing or a big. And here it is. It's a wingman, basically, and almost like a 3-and-D guy. And that's almost what you get with Miller Kopp, in a sense. You've got one of the better shooters that was in the transfer portal. You've got a wing that, like you said, it's kind of really – you've just got Jerome Hunter that's almost, if you did like your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 – positions, really you would just kind of put Jerome Hunter as a three, maybe stretch a couple people here or there, but there's not a lot of true wing players, which is what the Keon Brooks talk was what was all about as well, when there was some smoke around that as well. So just that wing player that's going to come, I don't know if he's going to come off the bench, because you look at, and let's see if I can do this correctly because of all of the walk-ons or people, you've got people that have started minutes at the collegiate basketball level. Let's go through this. Did Trey Galloway started a couple games this year? Was that correct? Mm-hmm. Yep. So you got Trey Galloway. You've got Jerome Hunter has started at some point.
Yep.
Jerome Hunter, Trace Jackson Davis, Rob Finnessy, mm-hmm. Parker Stewart, Race Thompson, Miller Kopp, Xavier Johnson. That was 8 players. Now let's add players that have played a significant amount of minutes in terms of like 10 or plus. Like, it's not like a walk-on where you saw like 30 seconds at the end of a blowout game.
Right.
You got Trey. Oh, no, I already mentioned him. Jordan Geronimo.
Yep.
That's 9. Christian Lander, 10.
Yep.
Anthony Leal, 11.
Yep.
And then Parker, did I mention? I think I mentioned Parker Stewart.
Yeah, you've covered some of the main.
That's a, well, actually, that is 11. Yeah, because mm-hmm. then you've got 13 scholarship spots, yeah. And really, it doesn't count when you've got Logan Duncombe and Tamara Bates coming in because they're freshmen, so you can't really count them. So 11 for 11 for people that have either started or played more than 10 minutes as a somewhat significant role. So that's where the entire offseason conversation is, and that's what I've been leading up to, is the entire offseason is going to be talking about who's playing, where, what role, how much, who's going to start, who's going to come off the bench, how frequent will that change, will it change frequently? There's a lot to talk about there, and really it's not even like maybe this was like Woodson's second season in Indiana, where we could be like, all right, we know what he's running. We know what he likes. We know what he doesn't like. We know, et cetera, et cetera. We can put these guys to fit maybe his mold. We can go maybe to a previous job. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have any college job. He doesn't have any college coaching experience. So you can't even go back. Hey, we've got this other team that even if it was in like the SWAC or something like that, where he did this with them.
Right.
Nope. Yeah. The NBA is obviously a very different animal in terms of how you play people on the court. So really, I have no idea. If I were to guess, I would probably move him closer to, if it was like a 50-50, I would probably put him closer to starting the not starting, because he started about half of his games his freshman year. He started all of his games his sophomore and his junior season. And he's a guy that contributes in more ways than one, and he can do a bunch of stuff basically. And I've talked for a bit, so I mean, do you have to add for a lot of the stuff I said?
I love where you were coming from there. Over on the Inside the Hall Q&A, Cop said the ultimate factor that led to his decision was a mixture of Coach Woodson's experience and his plan for me, the familiarity with the Big Ten and Indiana's roster as well, the potential for us to do something great. He also says that his belief for the way Indiana is going to utilize him, he said, obviously, I feel I can shoot the ball, and Coach knows that. Really just using that to help everybody else in terms of spacing the floor, but also things that I haven't done as much, like handling the ball and playing out of the pick and roll and making the right reads in that kind of environment. And also being a better rebounder is something Coach wants me to do, and it's something I want to. So beyond that, I suggest everyone go over to Inside the Hall and read that Q&A that they posted with Miller Kopp, Indiana's newest addition. It's incredible, Noah. I mean, you think back to Indiana hiring Mike Woodson a few weeks ago at this point. And really, outside of Armand Franklin, Al Durham, and Joey Brunk moving on, man, Mike Woodson has completely disproven the notion thrown out by a handful of national media folks, especially, that he can't recruit, that he can't connect with 18 to 22-year-olds. That narrative has been completely blown out of the water. Woodson has been thoroughly impressive in his ability to really connect to high schoolers, to current college players. I'm very impressed. And here's what's interesting now. Not only is the addition of Miller Kopp tantalizing, and you think of someone who for a couple of years has been Northwestern's go-to option offensively, he always was a thorn in the side for Indiana. He always was. He had a ton of good games against the Hoosiers. Back against Ohio State last year, a team that ended up being a 2 seed, Kopp scored 23. It was really tough. He was a very tough matchup over the course of his time at Northwestern. And here's the thing. Not only do we look at this Kopp addition and go, okay, pretty intriguing, you all of a sudden have a situation now where not only every scholarship is filled up, but every player on the roster right now has, if they want to use it, at least 2 years of eligibility remaining. And that's a very unusual place for any college program to be. Now, I think we can all project going forward that Trayce Jackson-Davis is probably going to put his name into the 2022 NBA draft. And I think a couple of other players, I think Xavier Johnson might at least get into the evaluation process. I think Tamar Bates, the four-star freshman who committed to Indiana yesterday, will at least go through the evaluation process. So Mike Woodson will be doing some recruiting next year, but overall, Noah, you look at this roster, not only are there good players top to bottom, which you mentioned with those minutes distributions, but every player has at least 2 years of eligibility remaining. How do you think that's going to shape Mike Woodson's offseason program going into November this year?
I don't know if it'll shape it too much, because there's just the unknown, and especially with, I mean, there's always an unknown factor regardless before the transfer portal rule was even set in place. Now that the transfer portal rule is set in place, you have no idea whether there's a reason why Archie Miller, especially at Dayton, where you could talk about basically his success at college basketball, where he never played and never even had a lot of scholarship people, because it does get too crowded. And there is the notion of it's not necessarily your job to make everyone happy, but if you've got a couple of people that obviously are they're disliking the way things are going, to put it in a certain way, it obviously hurts the team negatively in a different light. So the 13 scholarships of, like we said, everyone has played 10 plus minutes in key game situations that are on, or at least minus the freshman. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it, like the level of competition, because it could go two ways. You got the level of competition that really helps, or it could find where, like, there's a guy, I don't even want to name any names, but just someone is just like, hey, there's just too much competition here. I don't like it. I don't like the way that things have fallen with me. Maybe the system wasn't quite what I thought it was, and they go into the transfer portal, especially now that it's so easy. Then you've got the extra year of eligibility where I don't want to put too much stock into everyone at using that extra year. I feel like it's going to be more likely than not people are not going to use that extra year of eligibility going forward after this year, because things are going to basically kind of go back to normal. Like, I could totally see a guy like who we're talking about today, Miller Kopp, where this would quote unquote be his senior year. This would be his last ride. I could totally see him being like, hey, I don't think the NBA is really the right fit for me. I've finished what I want to do schooling wise. I'm ready to go on to the next level. That's okay. Same thing with a guy like Rob Phinisee. It would be his senior year, et cetera, et cetera, the same type of thing. So I think there's just too many unknowns that you can't, I mean, it's got to be in the back of your head. You got to think forward a bit, especially with recruits, because you can't be going off and offering a bunch of people, which is obviously probably the only thing that Woodson's not going to do is offer a bunch of people. But just with all of that uncertainty, I don't think you can even look into it too much. You just kind of got to kind of go forward with it. And then if a situation arises differently, you kind of got to change it, fix it, go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. It's just really interesting. You look up and down. Yeah, Miller Kopp still has 2 years of eligibility remaining. Rob Phinisee's got 2 years. It's everyone else. I mean, it's just a very interesting coincidence or situation going on there. Here's the thing. I mean, we talked about at the start how all the scholarships have been used up. But in this day and age, with NBA draft decisions still have to be made, even for the 21 draft.
Exactly, yeah.
And so much other things that still need to shake out. With the transfer portal as active as it is, I'm going to put you on the hot seat, Noah. Do you think there will be any more roster changes at Indiana between now and the start of the 21-22 season?
And Trace going to the NBA, obviously, is another thing. Because, right. I don't think the roster as is will, adding CJ Gunn as well, will be what it is the following season. But you're right. And I guess Sam Story on Twitter, you got to follow him. He's got some inside information. He always has some good stuff to say, and he's basically one of those people where, he knows in like not too much, but enough to be like, he's putting out some smoke sometimes. sometimes it's warranted. Sometimes there is fire where that smoke is. Sometimes there's not, but he tweeted out today after all of the Miller Kopp stuff came out, and he said, roster's not set, could be another swap in and out, which is an interesting wrinkle, because the first thing that came to most everyone's mind was that, like we've been talking about, 13 scholarship spots are set. Hey, let's go with what we got. We're ready to go. And I think you brought up this really good point. I personally don't see anyone else changing. But if there's any fire to that smoke, you got to look at it like this. With the 13 scholarship spots, Xavier Johnson just came in, Miller Kopp, Logan Duncombe. You can add Parker Stewart sort of kind of in there, even though he was here, but he kind of basically re-upped everything. Those guys are all new, and they're not going to go out of the transfer portal unless something unforeseen happens. That's probably the case for everyone. Race Thompson already said he's coming back. Just period. Same thing with Christian Landers. Same thing with Trace Jackson Davis. Same thing with Jordan Geronimo. Then you've got someone like Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, who indirectly said, hey, I'm a Hoosier for life type of thing, where it wasn't 100%, but they sort of kind of said, hey, we're here to stay, even though they didn't directly, at least openly in social media, say, hey, I'm here with Mike Woodson. So those are kind of like a half and half type of thing. But then you've got no news from Jerome Hunter and Rob Phinisee. So really, like you said, it's radio silence from Rob and Jerome, and then you could add Trey and Anthony into that pool, because really the rest of the guys have said, I'm committed to Mike Woodson and to this program this coming season. So this was in the back channels. Nathan put this out to us earlier, and that's where it's like, there's really a very limited amount of guys that could transfer if there is any smoke to that fire.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be something to keep an eye out for. Just because all the scholarships are filled right now doesn't necessarily mean things will be set in stone. Personally, I think those four guys that you mentioned, Phinisee, Leal, Hunter, and Galloway, will all still end up staying with Indiana. My prognostication is that I don't think there will be any more roster changes. That's not to say Mike Woodson won't maybe make a phone call or two, keep an eye out for certain things, but
sure. Your due diligence, basically.
Yeah, do your due diligence. I get the vibe from Woodson, though, that, you know, he made some comments to John Rothstein's podcast last week where he was like, look, I'm going to try to fill up these couple of scholarships and then we got to get to work. And, you know, there's still,
yep.
You know, there's a finite amount of time before Indiana takes
Move
the court.
On, basically.
Yeah, a finite amount of time before that first game where Indiana takes the court. And then you know how quickly things move in the college basketball season. You're going to get into your possibly your non-conference invitational type of situation. And then your Big Ten ACC challenge and then your matchup against Notre Dame at Bankers Life. And all of a sudden, you know, you get right into the heat and the fire of things before Big Ten play. So I get the generic vibe that Mike Woodson will just like to get to work with his three new assistants, Dane Fife, Kenya Hunter, Yasir Rosemond, Thad Matta up as a consultant, Mike Roberts still on the staff in some capacity. I think he just wants to start implementing his playbook, get his offense going. And that's really all that's in my head right now. Noah, as far as any closing thoughts on your end, Miller Kopp is a Hoosier. Tamar Bates came over to IU yesterday. What's the way you want to take us home today?
There have been obviously a lot of, and the notion of the recruiting, obviously Hoosier fans have heard it, and we're not the ones that have to be convinced that Mike Woodson can't recruit, basically. So it's just more of, and I said this earlier today, we've almost felt like there's been like 11 or like 9 or 10 decisions that Mike Woodson has had to go through just because so many people were in the transfer portal that it was like, hey, he's getting this guy. Like, he got Jordan Geronimo back. He got Christian Lander back. He got Trace, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just exciting because it kind of fuels the fire for just the enthusiasm of the fans and the enthusiasm of the program, where a coaching change, there is 9 times out of 10, a very – minus retirements, a firing, 9 times out of 10, there is at least a year, if not half a year, or some type of lull in between the previous coach to the current coach. And especially with just how Hoosier fans are and the enthusiasm that they have, it was just think back basically to the first week of March, second week of March, where things were, and think of where we are now. It's almost as if there was no coaching change, if you will, in terms of like, we didn't have to go through, if that makes any sense, to where we didn't have to go through the whole off season wondering, hey, I don't really know about this enthusiasm. Of course, we have to see the specific results, but right now everyone's really bought into the way Mike Woodson has started out his tenure at Indiana, the way that these players are buying into what he is saying. And there's just a different level. It's different. Different level of enthusiasm and bought in to just the way the program is going to be run. And I think just more than not, all of these extra commitments are just kind of fueling that fire for not just the commitment to success, getting back to success at Indiana basketball, but where the program is in, like, just, sorry, I'm fumbling over my words in the middle of the day, but just going back to where the success needs to be at with this program.
Right, just kind of reduce the grumblings and the mumblings and the groans and the moans on social media. Bring some steadiness and stability and, you know, right the ship. And I think Mike Woodson's done all of that. It's really exciting to see what this team looks like now. It's going to be real competitive. I think that's the key word now for the next 2-3 months. If you're wearing an Indiana basketball jersey here coming up and you're on this roster and you've got a scholarship, be ready to fight for your playing time. There are no givens. There are no assumptions that you can make with this roster, except maybe Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, he's the one guy who can assume that he's going to get 30 to 35 minutes per night. Everyone else, you are scrapping and scratching and clawing for those minutes, and it'll be fun to see how it all plays out. But that about wraps it up for our 194th show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us, especially on this emergency surprise podcast episode. We really appreciate your support. Thank you to our live audience. You're all beautiful people. To hear more fantastic episodes like the one you heard today, be sure to follow us at Indiana HQ and at the Hoosier Sound to make sure you don't miss any in the future. You can also go to our website, indianahq.com, to find everything in one place. Lastly, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review. Tell a friend, share our links. Your support really helps us grow this podcast and reach more passionate IU fans such as yourself. But